You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to the last show of the week. And today I have a special guest, Mr. Tony Bathey. I like to call him Pancho, from San Diego, in for the big weekend of football. You must make this trip. I'm just taking a guess. You can tell me I'm wrong, Steve. Of course, you always have. That you pick the best games you feel or they're going to happen this weekend, because you rarely come in for these games, and this is a big one.
I think this is probably, well, you know, this could be the most important game so far for Kevin Sumlin, at the way things have
so
gone.
So far in his career?
So far at Arizona.
No, that's what I mean.
The way things have gone, this is a pretty big game. I enjoy coming to Tucson for various reasons, and this is one of them. I enjoy sitting here with you. I like calling the show. I love to talk about sports. It's something I've always been involved in, not the media.
You coached for a while.
I coached. I played. I did all kinds of things. I continue to compete my entire life. I'm 55 years old, and if my calves didn't strain.
You're 55?
I'm 55 years old.
I thought you were like 56, 57. No, I'm not joking. I thought you graduated in 80.
I graduated in 81.
So you're all going to be 56 soon.
Yeah, I'm going to be 56 in December.
Okay,
yes,
that
sir.
Makes sense.
Yes,
that makes sense.
Yeah, so I'm getting close to the age where I'm going to be smart. But I still feel like I have a couple more
you still
years.
Have kids?
Still have to learn a few things.
You still have kids?
Well, I still have a wife too. So you know, I have to get smarter every day for that to continue.
But you'll
There's
never
no
be
doubt
that
about
smart.
That.
No, good to have you in studio. Welcome. Glad you're here safely. A big game, and it's hard to disagree with you in terms of big games because he hasn't proven much to this point. I think that's fair enough.
Yeah, I agree. And again, I've said this before. I've said this before as we've spoken on the air. The first reaction that I had after, I think it was Lev that posted videos on the Arizona Daily Star. I watched them all last year.
When you first got here?
The interviews with the coaches.
Okay.
And the temperament of these coaches was that they were sure of themselves. They spoke as if they knew what they were doing. And what Rich Rod left behind was way behind what they knew. I thought, wow, that's just my opinion. That's how I reacted to that. Listeners out there, call in and disagree with me if you want, whatever, if you watch those videos. But in particular, the young special teams coach, the Jeremy Springer guy, was talking about how, you know, inadequate the special teams have been and how they we're going to coach them up and we're going to show them things and we're going to make sure that it's done this way and it's going to get better. It's going to get better instantly. And I thought, okay, good. I'm fired up. I'm a Wildcat fan my entire life. I'm excited.
I can't wait to see this. Said all the right things.
Mazzoni said all the right things. Sumlin said all the right things. And then we saw the product out on the field in that very first game against BYU, and that second half, I'm sticking to this. I've said this before. That second half against BYU showed me that a guy at BYU could outcoach an Arizona coaching staff. And they hit that tight end over the middle of the field. They put two tight ends on, and they ran the ball up the middle, and the Arizona defense could not stop BYU. And Kevin Sumlin and his staff were 0-1 at Arizona right away. And I thought, you just lost to BYU at home. That's not a good thing. And since that point, I've watched them kind of go up and down, and then we saw the fourth quarter against ASU, and then we've seen how this beginning of the season has gone. And I think these coaches are going to have to adjust a little bit and recognize you have to coach now. You actually have to teach these players how to win, because they're not the kind of players that this – Mazzoni was at UCLA, right? And then he's been in a lot of places. They've been in places where they can get the four-star and the five-star guys. Arizona hasn't succeeded in football as a result of their outstanding recruiting. They've succeeded in football as a result of their outstanding coaching and the way their teams came together and bonded and played well and refused to lose. And He's got to put a product out on the field tomorrow night that is going to refuse to lose.
And that's been a while. You're talking about the past.
I didn't mind Rich Rod too much. I think Rich Rod had a couple of good seasons, and they had a couple of decent performances where they battled. But we'll see tomorrow night. This is a turning point for Arizona football tomorrow, I do believe.
If you want to call in, please do 790-2040. It's funny, you talk about the kid talking about this is going to, we're going to coach him up, we're going to do this. Every new coaching staff that goes to a program says we're going to do better than the last coach. Obviously, they're there for a reason. Back in when Stoops showed up, he was replacing Makovic, obviously, and that anybody could say that because that was a disaster. But I remember a guy, and I won't say who it was, an assistant coach. He didn't know who I was. I happened to be in the McHale Center, and he was talking to a crowd. And he says, "There's a new sheriff in town. We're going to do this and we're going to do that." And I'm thinking, should you just do it and stop talking about it?
I agree. So
talk about it after you've done it.
I agree.
No sooner than that happened, maybe a year or two later, that coach was gone. And I'm thinking, just do it. You don't have to puff your chest to say this and that. Just do it, and then, you know, get to the moon, and then tell me you're going to get to the moon.
Well, yes, and here's the other side of it, though. As a media member, who you earned your living as a media member, mm-hmm. You want those comments. You want to hear those comments. You're asking those questions.
Sure.
And then the guys, and it sells tickets, right? Sure. The hype. Is Tucson the hype center of the world?
No.
Or what?
It's one of them, because Texas Tech, Lubbock, you got Lawrence, Kansas, you got all these towns, Gainesville, Florida, you have all these, Tallahassee. We do that. Whether we like it or not, we do that. I know people who call it, well, you guys raved about him at the beginning of the year. Well, what are we going to write without them? Tony, are you a good guy? Tell me you're a good guy, Tony.
Depends on who you
Tony,
ask, right?
Tony, are you a
right?
good guy? Tony Bathy says he's a good guy.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden.
And then there'll be people out there that go, wait a minute. No, not so much.
Right. But in my story, guess what Tony told me? He's a good guy.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a good guy.
Exactly.
So we write what we see, write what we know. We don't know until they fail on us.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll just get right back to it. You know, tomorrow night is huge. There's no question.
I don't disagree.
I don't care
with
if it's 73 to 72. Just like I said in the opener at Hawaii, I don't care if it's 3-2. Just win the football game.
What if it's 50 to 30 on a losing end?
Well, then you know, I think we'll score more than 30. I think we could lose the game 50 to 45 or 50 to 48 or something like that. But they just have to battle. You know, it's the situational moment when the players clearly need to understand that this is when we have to make a play. And then you make a play. We used to say at Arizona, we always heard some Wildcat will make a play. Right?
We haven't seen that yet. Well, In the last year, do we have a call, Tom? Let's go to the call. Can we do that? I don't see who it is because it's covered up here. Is it Paul? Paul, thanks for calling.
Hi, yeah. It's a little off subject, but my wife was listening to you, and she's very upset about what's going on back east, that a lot of the boys are claiming their girls and getting onto the girls' teams, And I, you're in the sports business. Tell us what in the world's going on with all this stuff.
I don't know what she's talking about. Have you heard, Tony?
Well, it sounds like politics to me. So, a guy claims that he's actually feels like a girl so he can compete in the girls' meet in the 100-yard dash and beat everybody by 3 seconds. I don't have much to say about that.
Well, somebody's going to have to say, we need to know what's going on. And their boys are now playing on some girls' teams in high school and colleges back on Eastern colleges. I'm really surprised that you haven't heard about this.
I'm not too sure. I'm going to have to Google that, Senor Paul. Maybe get a hold of me next week so we could possibly talk about this. It's not a subject I really good want to talk about, but if you want to talk about it, we will.
So does that say as much about the people involved as the colleges themselves that may be letting this happen?
Well, let's say if it's true first. Let's check if what he's saying is true. I think you're talking about the high school level, correct?
No, I think I'm talking about even at the professional tennis level. There's some guys that are...
No,
I haven't heard of that, Paul.
No, Paul.
I've heard about the high school, but I haven't heard anything other than that.
Well, if you're in the sports business, I think you could give us more information.
Well, I'll check it, Paul, and I'll talk about it. If you call me next week, I'll check it out for you. But I don't think that's true. I don't think, and I'm saying that just by not knowing. But call us back next week.
Yep.
Thank you, Paul. So I don't know about that. But you're talking about coaching? What are you talking about, coaching? Paul threw me off here.
Well, now you're either a boys coach or a girls coach, or you're a cross-gender coach, I don't know. Well, I'm a little confused right now after that call from
cross-gender,
Paul. Paul, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
The cross-gender stuff is obviously a topic to be discussed. Hey, Bruce Jenner is no longer Bruce Jenner back in the day, whatever, but we'll talk about that.
They're trying to talk about Wildcat football right now.
Let me get my bearings here and go to a break. Go to a break here at 10:30 The Voice. Welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. And in studio, I have my buddy, Pancho, Tony Bathy, former coach here in town, now a San Diego guy. So was your trip here relatively easy?
It was. We got a little late start. But they've done such a great job with the Interstate 8. Once you get past El Centro to the east, it is just this gray concrete that's graded all the way. It is smooth and flat.
Good thing you don't get the Phoenix from here. It's horrible.
No, I avoid Phoenix at all costs. But, it was an easy drive, and we made great time. And so we're staying at a place that we've never stayed before, Hacienda del Sol, which is a really nice place. We Google Earthed it, and we saw that they had done some renovations. And I thought, all right, well, my wife was actually, she was the one who said, let's stay there. So we did. We pull in, we get to the valet. The valet is real friendly, asks us, you know, where are you from? How you doing? Welcome, blah, blah, blah. Said, we're here for the game. He's like, oh, the game. He says, you know, the head coach, he comes up here a lot. Kevin Sumlin, he comes up here, he hangs out a lot. He's a Porsche guy. And I was like, really? He's a Porsche guy? He says, yeah, he brings like a different Porsche here every time he comes. And I said, well, yeah, because he got a $12 million buyout from Texas A&M. Of course he's got.
Don't give him an extra $2 million. You got a $10 million.
I figured you'd like that story, though. It's a Scoop Rivera. It's like, how do you find this stuff out? Well, the bellman and the valets and the bartenders, they're the ones who know all the good stories. So that's good if you want to go meet Kevin Sumlin. And then go up to Hacienda del Sol Bar, and you'll probably meet him.
I go to Hacienda Bar. Go to Hacienda, and do you know Rivera? Yeah, he's a Kia guy. Yeah.
So anyhow, I mean that does. Good for Kevin Sumlin. God bless him. You want to drive a Porsche? You drive a Porsche. You want to drive three Porsches? You drive three Porsches. I got no problem with that.
I would do that if I made $2.5 million a year.
Heck yeah.
So let's get back to sports. Thankfully, I was going to ask you something about, what was I going to ask you?
You were going to ask me about the sanctions and probation.
Because you're on top of stuff like this. You're a native. You're a Tucson native. You were just a kid-ish when Tony Mason got in trouble.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on that?
Well, I was an idealistic young athlete that believed in Arizona anything. Okay. Mm-hmm. That was the first thing that
you
I
were what? 15?
Well, I guess when that was 80.
No, wasn't it
79, 78 back then? Jim Young in the mid to late 70s, and then Tony Mason came in. I remember that they went to the Fiesta Bowl and they beat Pitt 16-10, and things were going well for Arizona football. They were tough. They played well. And then I guess it was academic problems. I don't remember exactly what the.
I thought maybe slush fund
was it. It was slush fund. Yeah, and then there was probation. And so as a youngster, I was confused about that. I thought, wait a minute, why are the players getting punished? Why can't the players go to a bowl game? Why can't the players, you know, what's going on here? And so. It was just, I was a little bit disillusioned as a youngster that situation had happened, and I didn't clearly understand it. And I think what you're moving towards is what we just found out recently regarding Book Richardson.
Right. I wanted to kind of compare and contrast the kid in you and the disappointment, if there was. I'm not going to say that.
Oh, yeah, I was definitely disappointed. I remember it well.
Now and what we don't know what's going to happen from this. I think we're going to know that something will happen of it. But what are your thoughts now, 40-some years later?
Well, it's a business now. It's different. It's all about the money. Follows the dollar, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't win, you don't get paid, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you don't have a job.
And this thing with Book, though, It didn't come out earlier. I just read about it recently. It happened in 2017, I guess. But really, he's... And first of all, I thought Book Richardson was under financial duress, and this is why he did this. He was tempted to do these alleged things. Where did he come up with $40,000 to have somebody doctor Raleigh Alkins' high school transcripts? Where did that $40,000 come from?
Tom was shaking his head because he had the same question yesterday.
Yeah, well, there you go. So,
you need 40 bucks. I got it.
And if we're just now finding out that that happened here at Arizona one time, you got to shake your head and go, my goodness, how many high school transcripts have been doctored over the years to get a 1 year player into a reputable university basketball program so that they can get the exposure they need to get to the next level? And I, you know, callers, call in, tell me I'm crazy. I'm going to suggest to you now that it has happened and nobody knows about it in a lot of places.
Yeah. And how about the other upscale programs that have probably done the same kind of thing?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, let me say this. Arizona fans, and I'm not saying, Tom, that you are or you aren't, but they bring up that all the time. Well, you know it's going on other places. That's kind of an excuse to why you've done it.
No, it's not an excuse.
Why
beat up on Arizona all the time? You know,
nobody
talks about Kentucky or Duke. You know, it's just always Arizona.
That's the tone I hear all the time.
Attaboy, Tom. I like it.
And that's the tone I hear all the time.
And you know, if you're at Duke, you're saying, how come they never do it at North Carolina? You know, if you're at Florida, they're saying, how come they never do it at Miami?
Those academics.
It's just the way it is. It's like I said, you know, I've said this before about the sports writers that are hyping. We talked about hype earlier in the show, right? Uh-huh. And the Arizona sports writers have to hype Arizona football.
No, they
don't
have to.
There's 11 other sports writers in the Pac-12 conference that are writing in Corvallis, they've got a writer there that's saying that the safeties have improved drastically and the offensive line is killing it in the weight room, you know, and the quarterback is throwing spirals on the dime.
Let me put this in produce perspective. Corey Williams has this great summer league program, the Pro League Summer League. Back in the day, it was really good.
At St. Gregory, by the way, where I was the athletic director. So I know that gym very well.
They had a lot of the ex-guys come in, blah, blah, blah. Marcus Williams was playing 1 year, I think. That it was one of the first years that the program wasn't as good because he had regular dudes like you and me playing, but younger, obviously. And Marcus had like 45 points one night and 50 points another. And I remember this woman coming up, I really hope he does that this year for us coming up. And I'm thinking, ma'am, he played some dude off the street. That ain't going to happen again. So there's no perspective in this whole job.
Well, sports fans are delusional. There's no doubt about it. There's not much reality in sports fans, and I'm guilty. I'm so guilty of it. My wife is guilty of it too. She is one of the. I'll tell you a story about my wife and her sports fandom.
I don't want you staying with me.
No, this is a great story, and she's proud of it too. We were watching the San Diego Chargers in the playoffs. They beat the New England Patriots, and this was years ago.
1973.
No. It was after we were married. So it's only been in the last 12 years, right? So we're all at the house. We have a bunch of friends over, and we're partying, and the San Diego Chargers beat the Patriots. So they all go on like a Google search, and they're trying to find Cheers, the bar. Mm-hmm. And they get the phone number for Cheers, the bar. And my wife calls Cheers, the bar, and a bartender picks up the phone and says, Cheers. And so I can't remember exactly what she said, but it was something like, did you watch the game? Did you guys have the game on TV? And of course they were like, yeah. And she's like, well, we're all Charger fans. And so everybody started singing the San Diego Superchargers song, you know? And so she's delusional as a fan, just like the rest of us are, you know? And so you don't, like Tom said, how come they're not doing it at the other places? That's how we all feel, especially in Tucson, because we're so proud of the University of Arizona. We're so proud of the Wildcats and the red and blue and the Block A, and everybody doesn't want to hear anything negative about it. But when something negative comes up, psychologically, the human instinct is to deflect. Wait a minute, let's just bounce that off of us and say, well, they're doing it too. Or what about them? How come they're not looking at them? And you know, it's just the way it is. And
yeah, and since January, even in the national sports news, which school has been talked about most? since January of this year?
Well, I don't know.
Regarding this issue? No, yes. No question. Arizona.
However, I rest my case.
I don't know if they have other. I don't know if they have more evidence from other schools to show this.
Well, some people would say that ESPN has something for Arizona.
It appears to be. Dickie Beeve is not helping himself. Right, there's exactly. Other guys not helping themselves.
Oh, that guy,
but also the fans Dickie also Beeve. Put a little gasoline on that fire.
Well, it's sad that it's happening. It's not good timing that this happened because everybody, the Band-Aids have finally come off. Mm-hmm, the wounds have started to heal. And now, all of a sudden, here we go again.
In fact, Sean Miller had been kind of really nice with the media in talking to them before the press conference, before the actual media day. In a couple of weeks, he's been very available, which has been fantastic. And now this could shut it down.
He's got to go back underground again.
This might shut it down. And more power to him. It's a tough situation, but maybe this too soon will pass. Maybe too. And nothing will eventually happen. So see, there we are. Got to go. We got to go take this hard break here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. You brought some pretty good tunes. I like these. I'm going to have to put these in my slot there. There's a few other ones. I went to a concert last night, 38 Special, so we're going to need to get some of those in there. It was a good concert. And then Eddie Money died. Today.
Yeah.
Man, it's kind of our time, right? Eddie Money, I loved Eddie. I saw him 3 times in concert.
He had a rough time at the end. Yeah. We're listening to XM Radio on the way out today, which was going to lead me to another quick story here, but they were telling about the medical history of Eddie Money, and he had a hard time the last few months,
I saw him in December. He was in concert here, and he said, it's going to be my birthday here, and I think he's got to be about 62. He doesn't look good. He didn't look good at the time. I'm going to be 70. I said, 70? Where's time gone? 70.
Yeah, that's sad. But anyhow, the quick story. We're listening to the song, Kenny Loggins, This Is It, comes on. I told my wife, I'm like, this is his jam right here. So we both start singing it all the way. We rewound it, played it again. It was like, it is a great song. I mean, what are you going to do?
You hear it all the time, too, on Yacht Rock Radio. Yeah. Hey, so we're talking about problems and stuff like that, and you're a coach. Do you believe in idolization and are sports guys heroes?
Heroes.
What's the thing that Charles Barkley said?
I'm not a role model.
I'm not a role model.
As an athlete. Now, we're going to talk about who is considered a role model in the field of education, and coaching is... You're an educator. But as an athlete, do you have a responsibility to set a good example for whomever? And now if the assumption is yes, you do, with the political spectrum that we have in the world right now, some people may say that's a great example. Other people would say that's a horrible example. Mm-hmm. Now there's things that you can do that obviously would, the way you treat people, if you're violent towards other people, well, no, that's not good role modeling. All of us, 100% of us are going to agree, no.
Right, right.
But how you dress and how you party at night, or if you go to church, I mean, people are going to be divided on that.
Sure.
Just because a guy goes to church doesn't mean he's a role model. And just because a guy goes out clubbing all the time doesn't mean he's not.
No question.
So, then you transfer it over to now you're a coach and you're responsible for educating young people. When Randy Robbins was he on your show?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Randy Robbins was on your show and they were talking about recruiting, and he said what he said was if I'm recruiting someone who looks like me, mm-hmm. is what he said. And that got my attention when he said that. He said, I would be talking to the parents. And I would be recruiting the parents, and I would be convincing the parents that I am going to take care of like they would. And that's the guarantee that I'm giving you. So yes, he's assuring them that I'm going to be a role model and then you have to, because you've gone out and recruited that guy, mm-hmm. and you've told his parents, I am going to take care of him like he's my own. So you have a duty there and you've entered into a verbal contract with the parent that, yes, I'm going to provide good role modeling. However, this guy gets vacation. this guy gets to go wherever he wants to on vacation.
You're talking about the coach.
I'm talking about the coach.
Yeah.
The coach may not be married. The coach may be single. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He may go to Las Vegas. He may run into the parents of that player that recruited mm-hmm. him at a casino. He could be at the craps table having the time of his life mm-hmm. on his vacation that he gets for 3 days a week.
Where are you going
days a year he gets a vacation. He goes somewhere, he has fun, and all of a sudden the parents say, he's not a good role model. Well, we saw him in Vegas at the craps table. He had
subjective.
Two amazingly beautiful women on each arm. He's not a good role model anymore?
That's subjective. You know that. I know where you're going with that, but everyone, that's kind of judgmental. That's what it is.
Exactly. And that's where that's what the role model becomes. It's a judgment.
True.
Vegas.
You had me before that, but you kept me in Vegas. You had me at I'm making a verbal agreement with your kids. How many coaches actually do that? Because these kids have heard praises all their life. If they're this quality of player that comes to Arizona, goes to UCLA, whatever, they've got that talent. And you have coaches wooing them and loving them. They're going to be the next best thing. And then they get there. Guess what happens? They're among the rest of the guys that they told the same thing to. And now you have a herd of them. And now the coaches are thinking, well, not the coaches are thinking, the players are thinking, how do I fit in if I'm just one of the guys? I'm just one of the guys that he told that to. And I'm sure, and this is what I heard, I don't know if it's positive, and you might disagree or agree, that college sports, it's a haven for depression with athletes, because they all their life they've been told they're the best thing. They get here and realize, maybe I'm not.
Well, not just...
Does that surprise you?
No, not at all, because my stepdaughter had experienced nothing but pressure her entire career as a water polo player.
Self-imposed or otherwise?
Well, self-imposed, yes, but at the same time, her perception of the situation was, I have to be successful at this so I can get to college.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then once I get to college, I have to continue to be successful.
To stay in college,
mm-hmm. right? So there's an inordinate amount of pressure on these young athletes. But the big picture is, and my wife and I are so proud of her now, because it's her senior year. She's going to have played 4 years of college water polo. She's going to graduate on time. She's basically already hired by the San Diego Padres, which was her intention from the very beginning. And she's had a great experience. Now, I was never, as a coach, a proponent necessarily. It wasn't the first thing that came out of my mouth, which is, you're going to have a well-rounded experience if you play for me. The first thing out of my mouth was, you're going to commit to being better every day, and you're going to commit to helping this team mm-hmm, win. Mm-hmm. As a result of that, you may become a better, well-rounded person.
Right, yeah.
But I think, back to your recruiting, at the college level, I don't know, because there's so many coaches that recruit. You've got the defensive backs coach that mm-hmm. goes and recruits, and you have the linebackers coach and the running backs coach and the tight ends coach. The head coach isn't doing most of the
He's
recruiting.
Closing the deal.
Maybe the other guy. Maybe you've got these closers that they're the best recruiters, and that's why they're on the staff. I hired this assistant coach because he's a great recruiter. He gets into the living rooms right. and he convinces the parents that this is the place for his kid to be.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the role modeling thing, your question, I don't even remember what your question was about role modeling, to be honest with you, because I'm rambling on here. But I can't imagine how difficult the job is. I was never a college coach. It's highly competitive. There's tons of pressure. They have to recruit successfully to be successful. And then they have to live up to the idealism of being a role model as well. It can't be easy.
They pay them $2.5 million minimum.
That's true.
What is that saying? Much is given, much is expected, something like that?
Yeah.
And you're not even saving lives.
No, you're not. You're developing. You're helping. You're building a bridge that they can cross and get to the next level.
But you understand my point.
But
you're not a doctor saving lives.
No,
you're molding lives.
You're not a lifeguard saving lives in the ocean either.
Making X amount of money. Right. We all pick our profession there, Tony.
Yep. That's right.
But you had a good time doing it. You miss coaching?
I did miss coaching, and then just a couple of years ago, as a competitive U.S. Masters swimmer, in La Jolla.
Just throw that out there. Okay.
The coach, the director of the program, knew that I had a coaching background, and he was a little bit overwhelmed, and he asked me, "Can you help me? Can you coach some of these workouts?" And I thought about it, and I talked to my wife about it, and I said, "You know, honey, there's only one way for me to coach. I can't coach unless I'm going to be driven, and I can't deal with athletes unless I'm going to push them." And I told the other guy that's the director of the program that too, and he said, "Okay, go for it." So I got to coach these athletes, these adult athletes, for a couple of years, and we went to a national championship meet, and we did great. But it had been missing from my life, but it satisfied me. It was the final one that I was able to do. And then just about a year ago, I decided, no, you know, I have other things to do. I'm too busy. I did miss it. And then I got back into it again. Now I don't miss it anymore.
Yeah. Cause competitors love to compete.
Well,
and they just do, and they miss it. Deep down in somewhere in you, you probably do, but you've already suppressed it.
Well, yeah. The best part about coaching was coaching people who wanted to compete, because that's what I love to coach. Look, if you want to compete, I'm the guy that can coach you. Mm-hmm. If you're not the most competitive type, you and I are going to have a problem, mm-hmm. because if you're going to be a part of this, I'm going to expect you to work as hard and be as devoted as I always was as an athlete. I'm not the biggest, fastest, strongest guy. I always had to work harder, mm-hmm. and be smarter. And so I dove in, no pun intended, and worked as hard as I could. And I expected all my athletes to do the same thing, but you're dealing with adults now, and it's a little bit different.
Let's go to a call. You've already kind of threw me off, but let's go to a call, maybe not. John, thanks for calling in.
Steve, you haven't told us who you think will win tomorrow.
Oh, I've told you all week, John. I've told you all week, indirectly and directly. I think it's going to be...
I haven't heard an actual walk the plank score.
Well, the plank is going to be a long plank, short plank, any kind of plank. I'm thinking it's going to be first one to 50, so I'm going to say 50 to 40. The guys from Texas. I could be totally wrong. I'm thinking I've misguided or misidentified this team, but 50 to 40 at Texas Tech.
And what is, just curious, because I know you watch this like a hawk, what's the spread?
Two or three. I think it was three or four.
Yesterday it was three.
Three, yeah. So it could have got, I just thought it might have gone down a point, but three at the most.
Yeah, Texas Tech favored by a field goal.
So this might be a good game then for a wager, friendly wager.
Yeah, if you believe in Rivera's prognosticating, yes. But if not.
Well, I am a believer in you.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Dad.
Well, John, this is Poncho. Do you believe in me as well? Because do you know how many points the over-under is set at right now?
I have no idea.
77.
Wow.
That's a lot of points.
And 3 points then?
Well, that means they think that Texas Tech is going to win the game by three or more.
It's going to be a scoring battle.
Yeah, but 77 is how many points the two teams are going to combine to score more than or less than, and that's your bet. And I think 77 is not high enough.
Yeah, I agree.
I think, you know, 80 would be 40 to 40 or 51 to 49, right? So I don't think 77 is enough. What do you think, John?
So Texas Tech's defense is no better than Arizona's?
Well, they haven't been tested yet. Right. That's the thing.
Right.
We don't know.
I think there are going to be a lot of field goals, Steve. What say you?
So you like the under then?
I think there may be 20 field goals.
That'd be interesting. I think there'll be a few field goals, not a bunch of them, though.
All right. You're on the record, Steve. I'll call you Monday.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on the record. Glad to be on something.
Steve says Arizona's going to lose on the record.
That's not a shock, is it?
No, it's not a shock at all.
77. That's interesting. If I only had $40,000 to put somewhere.
I think that might be a good bet. I can't imagine that Texas Tech's defense is that much better than it was last year when it was one of the worst.
Texas Tech?
Yeah.
From the guy who got a better job by losing?
Yeah. But he had his record, his defensive team at the old place he was at, I read today, he was really good. He had great in stopping third downs and, you know, yada, yada,
all those
yada.
Analytics. Yeah, all those analytics. Where'd it get you?
Yeah.
A head coaching job in the NFL.
And it might rain tomorrow. Who knows? It could be a little windy and stormy and, you know, who knows? That could affect the
outcome. The National Weather Service Poncho is predicting thunderstorms tomorrow evening.
That could
that
impact the game.
That means lightning. They get off the field.
Thunder. Do your little thunder and lightning.
Thunder and lightning.
Thunder and lightning. And you know what follows that? Rainbows. Good luck on Sunday, guys, with your rainbows. Let's take our last break here on Eye on the Ball and 10-3 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10-3 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host, and with Tody Bathy, my guy, Poncho. I'm glad you got that Paul Simon on and not like 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover or something. Goof. I'm not sure about that song. Put that one in the burner, Tom. But the rest are pretty good.
This one, No Sweat.
Yeah,
no, bye.
No, Paul Simon, that was a good song, but that's not for me. Hey, you know what day it is today, Tom?
Friday the 13th?
Yeah, Friday the 13th. You have any superstitions, Tom?
No.
You don't?
I don't think so.
Working with me?
Well,
that's a pet peeve, probably.
That's not a superstition. That's a reality.
Sorry, 3 days a week. What about you, Tony? Did you have to jump over the baseball line?
I try not to. In life, no. But in sports, yes. There's no doubt about it, especially as a fan. It's the things that you have no control over, I think. That's where your superstitions have to be. I mean, as a fan. So I used to, I have like 5 or 6 different Arizona Wildcat, you know, polo shirts. And it's like, okay, we're going to the game. We're going to travel. Which one should I bring? Oh, wait, did we win when I wore that shirt? Or was it that shirt I'm not wearing because I know we lost when we wore that shirt. So yes, that kind of stuff for sure. But other than that, not too many suspicions. As a player, just do this. What we used to say as a player, and I think a lot of players say this too, is respect the streak. If you're doing something well, don't change. Do everything the same way. The way you put your uniform, the thing. Players will eat the same thing, especially baseball players. I think baseball players are some of the most suspicious. If a guy's on a hitting streak and he's been eating Taco Bell for lunch every day, he's going to keep eating Taco Bell till he goes 0-4. So it's interesting. A lot of people have stories about the stuff that they're crazy about, that they avoid, or the thing that they have to do that they think is going to make a difference.
If anybody wants to call in, let us know about your superstitions. If you have them, we have like 5 minutes left here on the hour, thankfully.
So you think baseball players are the most superstitious athletes?
Too. Yeah. Have you ever seen Major League with the guy who loved his bat? What was the big guy?
Oh, yeah, Joe Boo. He had Joe Boo. And he was going
to did ceremonies with his bat.
Yeah, exactly.
I think so. Football players, maybe not so much. I was, who else? Basketball players, probably not so much. Putting your socks on at the same time, whatever.
Jason Terry sure had. I mean, he wore his socks the same way all the time. So maybe he had that thing going for him.
Right. And well, it worked out.
It did. Yeah. It did.
Did you ever think he'd play 17, 18 years in the league?
It's hard to tell with these guys. I think TJ McConnell may end up being a guy who could play for that many years just because of the type of player he is.
I don't know about that.
Well,
that's a good observation.
Jason Terry could shoot the three, so that's what kept him in the game, and he was long and he was hard to defend. But you never really thought that he was going to be spectacular. Some guys just have it. They just have the desire, and they're not going to quit, and they're going to keep getting better.
So, well, Channing Frye was like that.
He played forever. Richard Jefferson played forever.
Yeah, Andre now.
Andre's
good enough to play that long, though. He's got a couple more years left. Who else? Rooks played for a number of years. He just obviously passed. He would have turned 50 this year, just last week or so.
That's the thing that it stuns me that these guys can continue to play 82 games. for that many years. They don't ever get the calf strain. They don't even get the hamstring pull. Their ankles don't get. They just stay healthy for some reason.
Talk to Boogie about that. Talk to Cousins.
Yeah. Well, that's the key to being able to play that many years is you can stay healthy, and they're right. they're just like physiological anomalies that their body can. Kobe Bryant was a guy who just kept playing and playing and playing.
He did get some injuries.
He had some, but man.
Jordan, not so much.
On all those minutes, it's basketball. I don't see it's so hard on the joints on that floor, and down. You don't see football players playing for 17 years. Tom Brady.
He's
a quarterback, so that makes a little difference. But at the same time, what an anomaly these guys are physically that they can continue to play and play well. And, God bless them, make all that money.
Right. Right. Anything else that you wanted to talk about while you're here in Tucson? You're going to enjoy the town. It's only 102.
Nice. We drove in.
It's not a bad
cloud. When we checked in up there, the rain came down a little bit.
Really?
the plaza's all set up for a wedding tonight, and it started raining.
Don't do it. No,
it's nice. The only other thing I guess we can wrap it up with would be talking about this Arizona football game again, and maybe making a prediction. And I hate to predict that Arizona's going to win. Because the last time I predicted that they'd beat Hawaii, they lost, So
what's going to win it for Arizona if they win?
They have to play defense. They have to do something defensively to stop Texas Tech from scoring more than 40 points.
That said, do they have that capability?
We'll see.
You're saying that because you're hopeful.
I believe that they do.
They've got the players, Pancho, that so far just haven't been used right? That's been my
opinion.
I don't
understand what's going on with the defensive backs. The coverage, the schemes of coverage are confusing me. I don't understand. I'm not a professional college football coach, so I don't know.
They've been playing so much zone, and I think that we have the athletes back there to play some man-to-man.
Sometimes they are playing man, but they're playing man 3 to 5 yards off the line of scrimmage instead of playing man right up close and knocking the guy off of his route away.
They're not knocking him off.
If they can do that and stay steady with a 4 and a 5 man rush,
if I would hit 5 numbers tonight with my Powerball.
You and Rudyard Kipling, you're a pair.
If I don't come back Monday, you know what happened. I hit the Powerball.
52-49 Arizona.
Wow.
I'm guaranteed to win.
That's almost 100, isn't it? 52-49
Arizona. That's why the 77
That's way
over
past
under.
The spread.
Don't blink because somebody's going to score when you turn your
my
head.
My calculations are like 60 field goals.
Yeah, John.
That was John. Right. Yeah, I think John was
celebrating
the field
early.
Goals up there.
He was celebrating. Hey, thanks for joining me, Tony. Appreciate it. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Tom.
I had a blast.
Take care. Tend to hear the voice.